Hello and welcome to Still Buffering, a cross-generational guide to the culture that made us. I am Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
So it's the last day of school.
And it's tech Woo-hoo. Week.
And it's tech week.
So
those are things that everyone across the country is experiencing, equally. Tech week.
Even though my last day of school was a month ago.
I am counting the minutes. Charlie, not Riley. That's you. Charlie will be home soon. Why did I name her something that sounds so much like your name?
I mean, the last syllable's the same.
Well, it has a
that's really it.
Familiar.
Really.
It has a similar feel. Riley, Charlie. Come on.
Sydney.
There's a lot of letters the same.
Yeah, there are a lot of letters the same and lots of names, really, when you think of it.
I was picking.
You could have spelled it like mine. Charleith. Oh,
I could have done that.
Charlie.
I was picking Charlie up from school the other day, and Cooper was in the car, and she had been watching Rocky Horror Picture Show.
They love.
Before we left, they both love that, and then we were listening to Rocky Horror Picture Show in the car and singing along as we were getting Charlie from school. And so then once I have them both in the car. Charlie says, "Mommy, what's libido?" And I was like,
"Oh no."
How did you? I'm desperate to know.
Doctor, mom.
What's great is that as I'm saying this, as I'm pausing, Charlie, who is smart enough to know what this probably means, goes, "Wait! Do I want to know?"
And did you just say no?
Well, it's too late now because Cooper's listening. And she goes, "Pause the music."
Cooper won't give up.
So I stopped the music and she said, "What is it?" Because Cooper wants to know. Well, she wants to know.
Especially if it's something that gives you pause.
Yes. And especially what she knows is that this is a kissing thing. And if it's a kissing thing, I want to know. Cooper's all about it. I need to know about the kissing stuff. I don't know, but I'm eager to learn. And I'm like, It's like how much you want to like kiss and hug another person. And Charlie's like, "I don't want to know anything else." And Cooper goes, "What? How do you have that?" And I was like, "Well, you don't." It's just like you don't. Some people want to kiss and hug people a lot, and others don't. And Cooper's like me and Charlie. And I'm like, not well.
I was gonna say, I feel like that's a dangerous way of describing it because both of your kids like to kiss and hug other people a lot.
She's gonna drop that word in the worst place possible in front of you. It's gonna be great. Mixed company.
And then I start the music back up and we're singing along and they have forgotten, I think. And Cooper goes, "Mommy, pause the music." And I'm like, "Oh no. Yeah, what's up?" "You know the part in Rocky Horror when they're in the pool and they all jumped in the pool and then they're like rubbing on Frankenfurter? Why are they doing that?" And I'm like, "They're just swimming." "No, they're not swimming." I don't know. I'm like, ah. I mean, I guess the moral of the story is, why did I let my 4-year-old watch Rocky Horror Picture Show? Perhaps I shouldn't have.
I mean,
I just said they just like each other. They're all really good friends and they like to hug and they're all grown ups and they're all OK with it. And so it's fine.
Ah. Well,
let's watch something else when we get home. Stop talking about Rocky Horror Picture Show for the rest of the day.
Your kids never want to stop talking about Rocky Horror Picture Show.
They love
They love it.
They do. They mainly love it for like the reasons that are okay for us to talk about it. Like they like the music.
They like the
dancing.
Time warp.
They love the time warp. They love the costumes. They think Frankenfurter is beautiful. They, you know, there's all these reasons. Mm-hmm. Let's focus on the makeup.
I don't know. I like that this is, we can see this happening in real time because, you know, so much of Pride Month is approaching and so much discourse around like pearl clutching, think of the children, you know, what's okay at Pride. It's like, but that's how kids are, right? It's like, I don't get this thing. This thing is weird. I like everything else, so that's fine. You just gotta explain the bits, or just tell them to, you know, don't worry about it.
Well, it's so hard because it's like, Charlie will say, I don't ever want to know about those things. Whatever, I don't know what those things are, but I know there are things I don't know about, and I don't ever want to know them. That's sort of her take on it. And I try to push back against that and say, like, you're seven, that's fine now. But, like, someday we are going to talk about these things. Like, it's important.
She knows the basics, like what to call things.
Yeah, I mean, she, that's important. We use appropriate terminology. And I do want to make sure, like, as she gets older, it will be important that we have conversations for, as I have told her, for her health and safety. It is important for her to understand things for her health and safety.
I mean, she gave me a very long talk the other day about how all of us here in this recording session and our other family members are super safe adults, or special safe adults. Oh, so we're allowed to help wipe her butt or change her clothes. And there are other safe adults that aren't always allowed to help wipe her butt or change her clothes, but they're safe. And then there's everyone else, yes, who's never allowed to wipe your butt or change your clothes.
I like that she has firm boundaries. She's got categories. It's good.
Yeah, they had a special...
I guess they had a talk at school.
Yeah, it was weird because we got a permission slip. Basically, well, it was like an opt-out form. Yeah. If you don't want your kid to participate in this, you can opt out of this. But it was basically like that sort of training, I don't know, that sort of information, which is fine. I mean, that's important information.
Yeah,
it is. I don't mind. It's stuff that, like, we talk about very openly here at home. I mean, you know, I tried to talk to
you
both
tried
of, I've tried to
me,
talk to both
yeah.
of you about this stuff many times, and neither of you ever wanted to talk about it.
I had the same reaction as Charlie. I don't ever want to hear about it. I don't ever want to talk about it ever.
Well, Debbie, we're also just like, I mean, we were close to the same age. It's weird.
Well, but I've,
yeah, that's true.
Listen, I've always been very sex positive. Yeah. I've always wanted to talk openly because then you're safe. Like, if you have all the information and you feel comfortable asking questions, then you can be safe. And that's very important. Mm-hmm. And so that's important to me for the girls, but not yet. Like, they're just, we're not there. No. They don't have the context for any of that yet. Mm-hmm. They don't understand that. So like, I have gotten away so far with saying, like, we will talk about this someday. But there are also just things adults do that we just don't talk about yet.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about later. But they're just stuff adults do. So they both know, like, there's stuff adults do we don't know much about yet.
Someday we'll get the full context.
Charlie's okay with not knowing. Cooper wants to know.
Yeah. And it's funny because Charlie's at an age where if she legit wanted to understand all that stuff, we would sit down and have the where babies come from conversation, I feel like. But she doesn't want to. Cooper wants to know, but there's no way I can explain all that to she's four. So, yeah. Like, we're not ready for that. So.
She'd be that kid that was in everyone's class that, like, knew about all that stuff before everyone else and would come into class. Like, guess what I learned last night? Gather around, everyone.
I know all the secrets.
just love the, like, yes, I must have a lot of libido because I love to hug people. That's it. I just so much libido. Me love hugging.
Can you imagine her going into school for the first time next year and she hugs someone? It's like, sorry, I just have a lot of libido. I like to give everyone lots of hugs and kisses.
Yeah, I need to refine that one a little bit, Sid, for public consumption.
Tell her it's a thing only grown ups have.
Yeah,
only grown ups have libido.
You don't get that till you're 18.
I will have to clarify, because the other difference too is Charlie's so smart and she she understands. I mean, I will reinforce it, but she understands really clearly, like, this is not something I will talk about at school.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I don't know what this is, but I will ask mommy if I have questions. I'm not going to talk about this at school. So she gets that. Cooper, of course, is too little to understand that.
And Cooper craves chaos.
She does.
She wants to mess everything up. She wants to say the thing she's not supposed to say.
That's the thing. I feel like she's not actually maybe she's confused about the stuff, but the reason she's asking is not because she's curious, it's because she knows that it upsets you. Or
she heard you pause before you answered.
Yeah,
she's like, oh,
that's it.
Okay.
She saw a weakness.
she does. She, I mean, it's so hard. If Charlie brings something home from school and is like, look at this beautiful thing I've made that I'm so proud of, you can just see on Cooper's face this look like, I'm going to rip that up. I am going to do everything I can to destroy that thing. And it, then it's just like me and Justin trying to stop her.
Yeah.
Trying to like defend the whatever from Cooper.
You know, she told our mom she had a dirty little secret this morning. And it was that she had Charlie's diary in her room. And I was like, at first I was like, oh no, she read it. And then I remembered like, oh, she can't read. And she told mom she stabbed it.
Well, that's...
Yeah.
So that's what she does instead of reading her diary because she can't read. She's like, yeah, I'm going to just mess this up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. we're working on it.
Anyways.
Listen, it's been...
It was just really good.
It's been a rough... Little secret. It's been a rough pandemic. And she wasn't socialized. And
ever in her whole life.
We're working on socializing her.
She was barely two when this started.
Mm-hmm. Charlie was socialized all well and good beforehand. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Their warped perception of the world. That's all right. It's all right. She'll get there.
We're working on it. We're working on it.
Hey, if you want to give her something that normal to watch, that's not Rocky Horror Picture Show, I can recommend a great cartoon. Go. Something that,
what cartoon is that?
Look, I turned out great, and that was my favorite. That's Chippendale Rescue Rangers. I don't know if that's not an endorsement.
I love Chippendale Rescue Rangers. I was so excited that you picked this, and then we got to watch the movie. It was one of my favorite cartoons.
Yeah. I will admit, I think had very briefly seen a few episodes, maybe a long time ago, when I was younger. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was one of those things. I know there was a while where you were showing me lots of things that you all had watched growing up. Maybe it was one of those. But until this episode, I had never sought it out and watched it that I remember.
Mm.
So this was really my first exposure. I guess it was off the air before I was
watching cartoons. Well, were the dates... So in the movie, they present like 1991, 1990, 1991, 1992. Is that right, Tay?
It's a little. I think it started in 1989. Actually, mm-hmm. Was when it debuted. Let me look at the dates here. But yeah, it premiered in March of 1989.
And it was only three seasons.
Final episode aired in 1990. Yeah, so. Just not. That's wild to me. I mean, they replayed those episodes a lot.
I mean, that is wild to me because it was such a huge part. Seasons. Yeah, of my childhood, the fact that it was that short. That's really wild.
It is wild.
I mean, those were prime cartoon watching years for me, but still.
Yeah.
It left a huge impact on me to be such a short lived show.
Yeah. I guess a synopsis for anyone not familiar. It's a detective agency staffed by rodents and insects. Mm-hmm. There you go. Sure. They solve small crimes that fall through the cracks. There's Chip and Dale and their chipmunks. There's Gadget the Mouse. She's sort of the mechanic, the inventor. There's Monterey Jack. He's the world traveled Australian mouse with a cheese addiction, and then there's Zipper, the fly.
Who's I think main talent in the original series was being small.
It's small, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, was small.
Small.
Put that on my resume. Small.
Small.
And it was I loved it because I loved Gadget, number one.
Yeah.
Such a strong female role model. Smart, kind of nerdy, really talented, like engineer, mechanic, inventor, wore a cool purple jumpsuit. All the things you'd want in a role model.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the episode that kind of gave her the origin story, like, you know, her father was also an inventor, that she kind of had like a sad backstory mm-hmm. too, but you know, there were definitely like plot lines where other rescue rangers, Monterey Jack saw Gadget more as like a daughter because he was friends with her father, but Chip and Dale both had like a romantic interest in Gadget, but it was never advanced because it was like, nah, she's not into that, she's mm-hmm. she's above all this.
Yes, there was never any indication that she reciprocated any of that.
No.
Yeah, even though, like, I think a lot of us probably shipped. I mean, for me, it was Chip and Gadget.
Okay.
He had that great hat and that bomber jacket.
I don't know. No, no. Gadget's too good for Chip. Or Dale. I don't know.
Were you really into guys with bomber jackets?
Well, I mean,
Did Justin wear a bomber
jacket? No, I don't think it was that I was into guys with that as much as, like, I mean, it was that Indiana Jones aesthetic.
Okay.
Well, and that the design of both Chip and Dale, that was absolutely Indiana Jones for Chip, and then Dale was supposed to look like Magnum P.I.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah. You know that.
Gadget also had great hair.
She did have, she had that aerial hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With the big swoop.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was always jealous of that hair, and especially because she would wear, like, the goggles. And so, like, that was how, like, I would think, I want to wear sunglasses and my hair to look like Gadget. Like, that was my, mm-hmm. like, goal. Because I didn't want to wear goggles, because what was I going
to
do with goggles?
Well, you did want to wear goggles, but you knew the societal implications of you walking around with goggles. But
this was before steampunk was really popular, yeah. So, like, what would I have been doing?
you could have kicked it off.
It would have been, like...
You would have started
It would have been, like, swimming goggles. Like, goggles from the pool. Is this anything?
But there's a go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just gonna say there's another reason why we're talking about Rescue Rangers.
Yes.
Besides this original cartoon. Oh, you want me to? It's a movie.
Well, I didn't know
if it was gonna be like one of those "I start, you finish" thing. A week ago came out with the new Rescue Rangers film on Disney Plus.
Is it just called Rescue Rangers? I don't even know the title of the actual, like, literal title of the movie. I just said, like, the Rescue Rangers movie is what I've been calling it. Have you seen the Rescue Rangers movie? Like that,
Chip
that.
And Dale Rescue Rangers, yeah.
Yeah,
okay, cool. That. I figured I should know that, but I don't know.
I mean, the tagline is, it's not a reboot, it's a comeback. So, there's that.
I immediately saw, like, a lot of pessimism, like, oh, this is going to be bad. And, like, it's Rescue Rangers. Somebody felt the need to make more Rescue Rangers content. I'm fine with that. Like, I would not have thought mm-hmm. that would have happened in this day and age. So I'm just, from the get-go, fine with that.
Well, and I think before we get into, like, the nitty-gritty, like, the plot and everything, I think that it captured the spirit of, like, those of us of the age where we watched the original and we loved it. And so there's an earnest affection in it mm-hmm. for the characters, for the stories, for the original series. Like, that's there.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of, like, acknowledgement of some of the, like, some silliness and some, I mean, like, Gadget and Zipper end up together.
That's a wild, yeah,
but this is a mouse and a fly.
I mean, I do think it, because, you know, I mean, it makes me feel like that obviously the people that chose to make this movie, to write and produce this movie, must have had a similar fondness for it.
Yes.
And then it wasn't just like a kid's cartoon that's kind of there to, like, throw, you know, basic morals on the screen and you know, resolve everything by the end. Like, the original Chip and Dale's, I was going back and watching a little bit, it has a lot that is a bit more mature, like the seeds of more mature genres in it, like a lot of really mm-hmm. good, like, noir notes. There's like Dangerous Dames, and, you know, there's a lot of, like, plot lines that are kind of like it the grown-up version, or like cool, like, crime films. So I understand why it kind of had a bigger impact, why it had a lasting quality, that it primed you to enjoy more adult genres.
I think that's true, because of the nature of the show, them being detectives and solving mysteries and stuff, they were up against bad guys a lot. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm not saying that the original cartoon was ever trying to insinuate, like, these characters could die.
No.
But, certainly not.
No one is safe.
But in your kid brain, yeah. You know, when you're watching it, you don't understand that. So, like, it does seem like, ooh, they're in real dangerous situations. Ooh, they've been captured. Mm-hmm. Oh, something bad could really happen now. Like, so, I mean, that is a more, again, they never showed, like, violence or death or anything. But, you know, like, that is a more mature sort of storyline.
I mean, it was kids. How I was introduced to the concept of a cult. the Cuckoo Cola episode is my favorite episode.
I forgot about that.
Is it the mouse cult?
Yes, and they baptize each other in Cuckoo Cola. And we were talking earlier about how kids perceive things. In my kid brain, I was like, that's weird. I like the colors. I like how when you get covered in a cola, you become that color for a little while. That's cool. I wonder what a cult is.
Anyways.
Dale. And this what happens is you watch this, and then later you're sitting in the back seat and you tell your mom to stop the music and you say, what's a cult? Yeah. And now I'm the mom going,
I mean, this was still that kind of fast and loose period of cartoons, Chip and Dale, Tiny Toons, like, there was a lot, like, is this fine? It's probably fine for kids, right? Who knows? There was none of the way it is now.
It really is. Like, is this something that's going to, that might have been damaging. Don't do that again. Right. Running it in syndication forever, but don't do it again.
Yeah. Like, adults in the writing room. Yeah, this made me laugh. But maybe it won't make a kid laugh. Maybe it'll traumatize a child. It's fine.
In this, and I will say, I felt like a little bit of that it's all in the movie.
Yeah.
Like that's there. Mm-hmm. And it's not cynical.
No.
It's earnest. But it is a little sarcastic, you know, sometimes. And that edge to it, that little bit of edge, I feel like is so, like, it's so 90s. Mm-hmm. It's so much what I like identify with and where my humor goes and my brain goes, and like, it's not cynicism, but it's not completely, you know, there's a little edge to it. Mm-hmm. And I really, I don't know, I felt that in the movie.
Yeah. Well, there's an what I think I responded to as a kid, and also think that, you know, it was in the new movie, and also I feel like it, the writers of the new movie must have responded to it, is that, like, the characters were treated with sort of that earnestness. Like, you understood the characters. There were episodes that told you the backstories of the characters in a kid's cartoon, which is just not a thing that necessarily every show did. So you were invested in the lives of the Rescue Rangers.
That's very true. I want to talk more about the plot of the movie itself. But before we do that,
let's check the group message.
So first of all, I'm so hungry.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
I was really busy this morning and I missed breakfast. I just had my coffee and I'm so hungry and I don't have time to make lunch, but that's okay because I've got the DoorDash app. DoorDash makes it so easy if you're busy. You know, we might love to cook, but you don't always have time. So if you're so busy and you're thinking, what am I going to do for dinner? What am I going to do for lunch? What am I going to do? I need to, you know, grab something from the convenience store, but I don't have time to run out right now because I'm in the middle of, you know, working or taking care of your family or Zoom meetings or whatever you're doing. You just open up your DoorDash app. You find whatever food you're wanting right now. You can find one of your favorite local places. This has been a great way to continue to support local restaurants for the last couple of years. You just find that restaurant. You go pick whatever you want to eat, put in your order, and then once you've done that, it will be left safely outside your door, contactless delivery, dropped right off there for you. It is so easy, it's quick, it's convenient, and again, it's a great way if you're really busy to get good, especially like local food that you want, you just can't go out to the restaurant right now, you get it delivered right to your door with the DoorDash app. So we depend on DoorDash in this household, not every day, but many days to keep us going. So, Taylor, if our listeners want to check out DoorDash, what should they do?
Well, right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more and zero delivery fees for the first month when you download the DoorDash app and enter code BUFFERING. That's $5 off your first order and zero delivery fees for a month when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code BUFFERING. Don't forget, that's code BUFFERING for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Rilo's Gift Corner, where I'm going to tell you a gift idea for a loved one in your life for the impending next holiday, which in this case is Father's Day, for the father figure in your life. And I will admit, I was confused why we were talking about father figures. I thought it's our dad's birthday soon. Is it everyone's dad's birthday soon? And then I remember, no, it's just it's our dad's birthday, and then it's also Father's Day right after.
All dads are born in May. That's where dads come from.
All dads are born in May. But that's why I want to talk about StoryWorth, because StoryWorth is an online service that helps connect you and your dad, your father figure, any other loved one in your life, really, through sharing stories and memories, and they preserve them for years to come. So every week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question of your choice from a vast pool of possible options. And after 1 year, StoryWorth compiles all those questions and stories that they'll give you in response, including photos they might want to add, into a beautiful keepsake book for the whole family that you can keep and share among all your generations. I know this is an especially good gift for our dad, who loves telling stories about all of his years of life before we were around, because he takes many liberties in terms of embellishments and characters and things that we can't prove are wrong, but we also don't think necessarily are right. And I think our dad would love being able to capture his one time he rode in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in a keepsake book for forever to have in
yes,
this family
yes,
on paper. He would be a big fan of that. So if your dad, father figure, other loved one, family member, friend, whatever, loves telling stories, loves sharing memories as much as ours does, then StoryWorth is a great gift idea. So Tay, if our listeners want to check out StoryWorth, what should they do?
Well, give all the fathers in your life a meaningful gift you can both cherish for years to come. StoryWorth. Right now, for a limited time, you can save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/stillbuffering. That's StoryWorth.com/stillbuffering to save $10 on your first purchase. StoryWorth.com/stillbuffering.
So I thought, okay, the plot of the movie itself, because we haven't really talked about that. And so I guess they're spoilers.
Yes.
Spoilers. Well, I already dropped the spoiler that not only are Gadget and Zipper together, but they have many fly mouse fly children.
Is that Justin's worst nightmare?
He was not thrilled with that.
I have to imagine.
It was hit, like, he was laughing so hard when that was revealed that it was that plus the guy who does the voice of Zipper.
Oh, yeah.
It was a great, it was just, it was all so good.
Just a smooth, low baritone voice for Zipper. I love that.
But, and also, like, that was the original voice actor for Gadget.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That was very exciting for me.
That's
like,
something.
Oh, it's real Gadget.
It is something I wondered, not having watched a lot of the original, is I noticed in this movie there are many recent popular actors that voice, you know, all of the main characters pretty much. Is there a reason that either of you know why they like wouldn't return with all the original ones? Like, is that in a way to kind of like bring in new audiences that might know Andy Samberg but, you know, don't necessarily know Chip and Dale?
I think, Taya, I don't know your thought. My thought is like part is probably just that. Like,
yeah,
just, you know, raise the popularity.
Yeah.
But I would say the other thing is that the conceit of the film is that they're all like they are actors, and Chippendale Rescue Rangers was a show that they were employed to do as actors in a reality where Chippendale, the actors, really exist,
right,
and walk around along with humans, and they're talking chipmunks that are real. They're not, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's sort of this like kind of like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, like toons and humans sort
which
of
I love
coexist
yeah.
kind of reality, and like sometimes cartoons get jobs and these toons got this job of doing Rescue Rangers, which is why like their voice might be different than their voice on the show. Like
Makes
they were doing a
that.
Voice
sure.
I don't know, that was my sort of idea.
Yeah, I was a little bummed by that at first because it is so part of their characters, those voices, but I mean, they did give that, for better or for worse, they did explain it that way by showing them like put on the voices when they were practicing bits.
That's fair.
And then they sort of address it too with Gadget when she clearly has the same voice and she can make the plane actually fly. and she's working on a car, and they're like, and she's like, I guess I'm basically the same character on the show that I am in real life.
Yeah, I like that.
I that's the kind of humor that, like, I really appreciate, because it's a little bit like, whatever, we're just not, you know what, this is good.
This is silly. This is good.
You all love Gadget the way she is. We're not going to mess with her too much.
Oh, there was a lot of the humor that felt like that. I mean, even like the whole, like, the all of the weird mouse fly babies, like, they didn't really like linger on that too long. It's like, yep, this is what we decided on. It's kind of funny, right? Let's move on. Like, okay.
And of course, Cooper and Charlie were like, they wanted to pause it because there were certain ones that they thought were the most cute. And they were like, I like that one the best. I like that one too. And ooh, look at that. And I'm like, what are we doing?
I did want just a little bit more elaboration on
the fly
mouse babies. But again, I'm not someone who is entirely familiar with all of the intricacies of the original. So I thought, I was like, am I missing? Is there some sort of context I need that's very important here? And no, now I realize
there was never any suggestion in the original series that Gadget and Zipper were hooking up.
Well, I saw a lot of people say, like, but I thought Zipper was like a pet, you know, like how the Scooby-Doo gang has Scooby-Doo. Like, it was sort of the animal component, even though they were all animals. But you know what? Maybe not. Maybe we read that wrong. It wasn't a pet. It was an amorous partner. Okay, friend. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, that would have made sense because that's the one non-mouse in the main gang.
Well,
right?
Rodent? Well, Chip and Dale aren't.
Well, okay, not non-mouse. I mean, like, non-like rodent.
Chipmunks.
Okay, they're all like.
Look, the hierarchy of like animals and like what animals have pets is very confusing in like any cartoon,
especially
universe.
Disney. Right, yeah,
Disney is like, like this mouse can have a pet dog, but he's also friends with a dog. But then that dog can have a pet mouse. I don't know.
Oh my gosh, Mickey's a mouse.
Yeah, Mickey is a mouse.
They don't address that size discrepancy very well.
Don't think about either how large Mickey is or how small Pluto is. Either of those things I find a little bit concerning.
And then when you throw Gadget the mouse in there, it's just like,
there's large mouse and there's small mouse,
I guess.
Don't think about it.
Anyway, sorry. You were talking about the plot of the movie.
Some get pants and some get shirts and some get both and some get neither.
Yeah, says that. I don't wear pants. Don't say that like you're proud of it. Yeah.
No pants, but gloves. That works sometimes too.
So the plot. They sort of recount the history of the show Rescue Rangers with the idea that, like, it ended because Dale tried to have, like, a solo career with a different show, 00 Dale, and it failed. And
which is a reference to an actual Rescue Rangers episode. He did have a 00 Dale or 00 Chipmunk something character in an episode.
So he sort of, because of that, it breaks up the show and the show ends. And Chip and Dale, like, aren't friends. And then years pass. And now we're back and, like, revisiting them. I don't remember how many years later. I mean, I guess it's current time.
Yeah.
So I guess it's set now, since 1991 or 2 or whatever. Yeah. And they get back together, essentially, because Monterey Jack has been kidnapped because he was in debt for all the cheese. For all the cheese that he was buying.
The cheesemonger, the Muppet.
Oh,
that's so good.
when he's doing the voice, and then they're like, "We want stinky cheese," and he's like, "You a cop?"
The tone shift. That's when I understood what movie I was watching. I'm like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they have to rescue Monterey Jack, who has been kidnapped by Peter Pan. Yep. Who is grown up now and goes by Sweet Pete. And is turning cartoon characters into bootleg versions of themselves with a very gruesome looking machine, and then making bootleg movies loosely based on these characters to sell for cash.
Well, and I think we have to note that a lot of people have tried to figure out whether or not this was purposeful, because the actor that played Peter Pan had like a whole like was sort of disregarded by the studio and had a difficult life because of that. And it's like, is this commentary? Because it seems pretty harsh. But
I didn't know that.
And if it's an accident, it is a deeply unfortunate accident. I mean, obviously, we don't know the answer there, but you got to mention it one way or the other.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I didn't know that either. That's really sad.
Yeah. And of course, I mean, that's how we end up with Ugly Sonic, right? Well, that's how we get that introduced into our lives.
Ugly Sonic is in it, and they have so many shots of his mouth with the teeth.
The fact that Ugly Sonic is not just like a beat, but like a character.
Yeah.
Like an important character plot-wise. I love that.
And I don't know who Seth Rogen is playing. I don't know that cartoon character that he's playing. But it's from the era of animation when eyes couldn't look at things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That whole part when they're like, we're in the valley, the uncanny valley. That's funny.
Yeah.
All of that really works. A lot of it really works. And again, it does remind me of Roger Rabbit in a lot of ways.
Well, you know, there was apparently a sequel to Roger Rabbit that was planned and then never happened. And a lot of people have said that it's very similar to that unmade sequel plot-wise, so that it sort of is meant to be the spiritual successor of Roger Rabbit, which, I mean, it makes sense. Why would they include him in the opening when they're talking about their past fame? They would party with Roger Rabbit.
Not only that, but they have, like, the machine that can bootleg the tunes, basically. And then when they can't later, the machine is broken for reasons, and so they have Sweet Pete about to like manually bootleg Chip. And when he unrolls his like thing of instruments, did you notice that he had a tube of dip?
Yeah.
Dip from Roger Rabbit is what they use to destroy the tunes.
Yeah.
But I saw that and I was like, made Justin like rewind, like, look, he had dip. It's Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's definitely at least a love letter to Roger Rabbit.
And I watched that movie many times growing up.
Loved Who Framed
Again,
Roger
because
Rabbit.
You all, you know, enjoyed the film.
Jessica Rabbit, another figure that you watch and go, I don't understand
these feelings I feel.
I think adults still feel that way when they see Jessica Rabbit. I think that's an eternal feeling. I don't fully understand. I'm just glad that it's happening.
I was talking with a friend about like funny Disney shirts that people like wear to like Disney World themed shirts. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at various Dole Whip shirts because I do like Dole Whip a lot. And there was
it's a great treat.
There was one
shirts. It's a category.
It is. It's a whole category. There was one that was a picture of Jessica Rabbit wearing a pair of Mickey Mouse ears, holding a Dole Whip. And it said, my Dole Whip brings all the boys to the yard.
No.
Yes.
And I was sitting there going, like, there are so many ideas here. And I sort of want this shirt. Like, I don't understand why. I didn't get it. But, like, I thought about it. I thought about it a lot. I was looking at it going, maybe it's just so many ideas all in one shirt.
I think that was a miss on your part,
Sid. I can still get it.
Get on that shirt.
Still out there.
You need to wear it next time you go to Disney and then take a picture of you eating Dole Whip. Like, no, look at that.
I don't wear Mickey Mouse ears. Like, look, it's me.
It's me.
And I'm just like Jessica Rabbit.
Oh, man.
Anyway, don't worry. Nobody gets dipped.
Dipped.
They do clearly, like, bootleg a lot of different tunes. And that was also a part of the movie that Charlie and Cooper made me pause. They show a wall of, like, pieces of cartoons that have been removed. Like body parts and
it's a pretty violent idea.
Yeah,
it is a very violent idea, and they stopped it because one of the things on the wall is Mickey Mouse's glove, which could be his hand. I don't know if it's
right,
but like that is very clearly on the wall, and they made us like rewind it and go, Mickey Mouse lost his hand.
Well, a lot of the Disney tunes have those same gloves, so maybe it was a minor character. Maybe it wasn't Mickey himself.
I'll comfort them.
Yeah, that's awful. I'm sorry.
It was a minor tune. Don't worry.
That was brutal though. Although it was sort of worth it for the reveal where Monterey Jack comes out and he's been Dumbo'd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That were they? I mean the when they show Flounder getting bootlegged, like
there was a
there was some body horror there. There was like just a little kitty surfing of body horror in the scene. I was like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's definitely in there. Like that part is pretty gruesome. Like the punchline sort of where they show like the bootleg movies and the funny titles. Like what is Casper? It's Jasper the ghost. I don't remember. They're all very funny. Yeah. Like all the titles are, you know, the punchline is worth it. But
yeah. Which makes me feel like, and I mean, I obviously can't know this because I'm not going to get all the references from the original, but the majority of the audience intended for this film has to be people of your all's generation mm-hmm. that grew up watching the original Rescue Rangers, I assume. Like, this is not something that they were trying to grab, like, an entirely new audience and bring them in, because they do some stuff like that that I assume, like, is slightly too much for, like, an entirely new, younger audience.
A little too.
But obviously adults who would be adults by now, if you were younger watching Rescue Rangers, would be down with that.
The bootleg concept does make it a little... I will say, like, because they had a Little Mermaid bootlegged there mm-hmm. with Flounder, and they called like the Fish Woman, mm-hmm. the Tale of the Fish Woman or whatever. And Cooper was like, "What's wrong with Prince Eric?" And I was like, "Well, he's been bootlegged, I guess." And she's like, "What do you mean?" Yeah. And I'm like, so then I had to explain, I had to like pause the movie and explain the concept of bootlegging a movie. Charlie acted like she knew. She was like, "Yeah, bootlegged." I don't know if she really knew.
Okay, Charlie.
She had to Google it.
She was in a room going, "Alexa, what is bootleg?"
Oh, man. Yeah. So I assumed that was the intention. Kind of like the new iCarly. They say bad words in that. Yeah. That's for us older kids. So I assume that's what this was.
But I do think it's interesting, though, where I don't think you would need to watch Rescue Rangers to enjoy this movie as an adult or an older teen. I think maybe it's a little difficult. It's like, I don't think it's a kid's movie. But
yeah,
because even like the sort of the setup that like, oh, Dale was always the punchline and got hit on the head every episode. And like, you know, Chip was the cool guy, like that really, if you like, that's not actually the dynamic they had in Rescue Rangers. Like, no, they kind of, it's almost like if you have watched Rescue Rangers, there's a bit of, like, incorrect presentation of the show in the movie.
That is very true. Like, I mean, Dale was clearly the sillier one, and Chip was the more serious one, but it wasn't, I don't think you ever got the impression that Chip was the star.
No.
Watching, like, that was not the way it was presented.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, Chip would sometimes be, like, kind of a bummer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Dale was funnier and cooler and a little easier to get along with. I don't know. I don't.
A little easier to get along with. Just like the way you phrase that. Like, I mean, if I want to be like, well, you know, make some conversations, some small talk with one of the two chipmunks, choose Dale. He just seems like a cool guy. He seems like somebody I could sit down and have a beer with, you know, like watch a game. I don't know. Chip's a little uptight.
He's a little intense.
That's interesting, because I, you know, obviously I'm not very familiar with the original, so I don't know those discrepancies, but I will say I did very much enjoy the film, not having much prior knowledge of the series.
Well, you know, a bit of a shadow of bummer over it was, like, the same weekend it came out was when John Mulaney, who's the voice of Chip, had, like, Chappelle as a surprise guest on his show, mm-hmm. on his tour. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's a bummer. And I feel like this is ruining my experience of this childhood thing that I'm enjoying. I was like, well, but I guess if one of the Rescue Rangers was going to be a little transphobic, it would be Chip.
Well, man, I don't want to put that on any of the actual Rescue Rangers, but I guess that probably is accurate.
If you had to say.
Not every one of them. I'm glad it wasn't tied to Gadget or Dale. Or-
no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gadget is married to a fly.
That's your reasoning. Like, well, no, she's clearly part of the LGBTQ.
Love is love to Gadget.
Love is love. Gadget believes love is love. That scene, too, I have to say, like, when they first show Gadget and she's working on that car and like there's sparks flying everywhere and she like lifts up her like face, whatever those things are called when you're
the visor thing.
Visor yeah. face thing. And like she's in like a tank top and stuff. They knew what they were doing. They were like, we know you all, why you all like Gadget. Yeah.
The fact that they like didn't have her in the trailer, but they like saved her for the reveal. I'm like, oh,
yes,
at least we weren't alone in that.
Yeah,
that was intentional.
Although now it's just a bunch of adults that are now attracted to a cartoon character.
That's fine.
It's true.
I thought it was very well done. I thought it was very funny.
Me too.
I thought it was like Charlene Cooper enjoyed it. Charlie said it's her new favorite movie ever.
Wow.
So, there you go.
Ringing endorsement.
Yep. And so like I do think it works for kids. There are those jokes that the kids aren't gonna get that are for the grown ups. There are the 90s references that are for those of us who watched it back then, like Pogs. There is no way my children knew what Pogs were as they were watching this film. But like
I did,
and they're showing things on VHS. They show like yeah. there's an original Nintendo there at one point. Like there's no way that some of those things, like they're going to be kids who are like, look at those antiques. Yeah. I don't know what's happening, but there's plenty there for kids to like. I just really liked it. I thought it was really well done, funny, cute, sweet. I hope it leads to a reboot
of the series.
Yeah,
maybe.
I wondered if that was the like. Goal of the movie was to maybe get the hype enough and get it popular enough that they could do that.
My kids would watch it. I'd watch it with them.
Or a Detective Ugly Sonic show, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I saw people on Twitter drawing or posting like artwork of his character, mm-hmm. and like, you know, I mean, he's supposed to. The whole bit is the character's supposed to be disturbing looking, but like, it's like the kind of. Trying it in ways that it's supposed to be attractive. I'm like, oh no, is this what this movie's gonna do?
Oh no,
no.
Tumblr fi Ugly Sonic, go for it. Actually, go for
would
it.
would you if they were to reboot the series, would you want it in the style of this film, like Human Toon, Roger Rabbit, meta mouse crime, or like original OG we're in this show?
I would just like to see the original show, more episodes, more, you know, new situations. Yeah. I mean, they can bring in some new characters, but just like, keep the old ones.
Like they did with DuckTales.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Although, I don't know, the bit at the end, maybe they'll just move on to Darkwing Duck from that, because that's another one. That might have been
a hint. Mm. There would be plenty of support for Darkwing Duck. Mm. Did you see, by the way, that Bonkers was up in this thing?
Bonkers was there?
Bonkers was, I think, was one of the, like, when they opened the trailer and people were coming out who had been bootlegged. I think Bonkers was Bonkers was in this.
I never liked that show.
I just couldn't believe Bonkers was there. Both Justin and I, like, we're the only two people on the planet who were both like, Bonkers!
Okay.
Anyway, Taylor, thank you. I'm so glad we watched movie. I mean, we would have watched it at some point anyway, but I'm glad you encouraged us to watch it right away because it was great. I'm sure we'll watch it many more times. I super enjoyed it.
Yes. Thank you for watching it. It was very fun for me. I'm glad that Chippendale, any new, I mean, that's how I'm easy to please. Like, people that were, like, upset, like, connoisseurs of Chippendale, like, no, this doesn't do the property justice. I'm like, nah, I don't, anything. I'll take it. Just please.
More Chippendale.
Give me the Chippendale.
More, please.
More Gadget. What's next?
I'm next. I want to talk about Harry's House. Whose house? Harry Styles' house. It's his new album, Harry's House.
Oh, excellent.
It came out the same day Rescue Rangers came out. So a lot of exciting things happened on May 20th of 2022, apparently.
Yes. All right. Well, we will check that out for next week. I would highly recommend you watch the new Rescue Rangers. It was on Disney Plus.
Yes.
It was very good.
Yes.
And thank you to Maximum Fun. You should go to MaximumFun.org. Check out all the great shows there. You can tweet at us at StillBuff. You can email us at StillBuffering@MaximumFun.org. And thank you to the Novellas for our theme song, Baby Change Your Mind.
This has been your cross-generational guide to the culture that made us. I'm Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McRoy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
I am Still Buffering.
And I am too. Slipping through the cracks.
But he's too.
We had like the 1 second delay that's making this very hard.
It's going to be fun for people to listen to.
It's going to be real good.
I'm going first. It's me, Jackie Cation.
Man, she's always this bossy. Hi. I'm Lori Kilmartin. We're a bunch of stand-up comics, and we've been doing comedy like 60 years total, both of us, but we look amazing.
And we're working out. We drop every Monday on Max Fun, and it's called The Jackie Lori Show, and you could listen to it and learn about comedy and learn about anger management and all the things.
And Jackie is married but childless, and I'm unmarried but child full. So together, we make one complete woman.
Is that just what that one's gonna end?
Yeah. And we try to make Kyle laugh just like that and say, oh my God, every episode.
It's a good job.
Jackie and Lori Show, Mondays, only on Maximum Fun.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.